Well, we're studying tonight about confession. There is an old saying, a proverb, if you will, that says, confession is good for the soul. And there's a lot of truth to that. I think there's a reason that God designed us in such a way that we need to confess our sins. A lot of the struggles that people have in their lives, even health problems, a lot of mental health problems, are related to sin in their life that they are trying to keep hidden. And it's causing them anxiety, and it's causing them all sorts of problems. And in some cases, there have been some indications that some of these individuals who had committed some heinous crime, or maybe even some crime that wasn't so heinous, but they'd committed some sin, and by not getting it out and getting it off their chest, as we say, it continued to eat away at them, and to the point that some of these individuals had been reported as having hallucinations about these, nightmares about these sins that they had committed that they were still keeping bottled up. God created us to need that release, the honesty that comes as a result of the willingness to confess our sins. In 1 John chapter 1, we'll begin there in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible. Because John acknowledges that we're not going to be perfect. In fact, he says if you claim to be perfect, if you think you don't have any sin, you've deceived yourself and you're a liar. Which means you've got sin. That you can't be a liar without having sin. So he says, you've got to admit that. But he says, if we'll admit that, and if we'll confess those sins, He will forgive us of all. Notice that word, that little three-letter word, all unrighteousness. If we're walking in the light, and if we'll confess our sins to Him, He will forgive us of all of the unrighteousness that is in our lives. Verse 10 then says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Well, in another place it is written, let God be true and every man a liar. If we say we haven't sinned, we're trying to say that God's a liar because God says you have sinned. You know, as we begin then, confession of sins is not an easy thing. Sometimes we think it would be easier to keep it bottled up inside than it would to open up and let it be known. But it's an important thing. God tells us that we must do this in order to have those sins forgiven. It's a part of the process. There was a story that's told about a Catholic church, and the priest at that particular Catholic church had gotten to the point where he couldn't hear. And so he couldn't hear when the people would come to give their confession to him. And so he suggested to those parishioners that if they would write their sins down on a piece of paper and slide it through the confessional booth partition there, then he could read that and then atone for their sins. Well, this all seemed to be working pretty well until one day one lady came in and sat down and slid her paper under the partition there, and he picked it up and he said, looked at it again. And he said, daughter, this is, says, 2 cans of beans, 1 loaf of bread, 2 gallons of milk, 8 ounces of cheese. She said, oh dear, I've left my sin list at the grocery store. Well, fortunately for us, we don't have to go through a priest in flesh and blood like that. We can go directly to God to confess our sins. So there's no possibility of Him not hearing us, or of Him not being able to answer us, or not being able to forgive us like this priest. There's no possibility as well of us leaving our list of sins at the grocery store, unless we just like to write lists and leave them laying around. But these kinds of things indicate to us how closely guarded people are about their sins. Now, even in the Catholic Church, where they have the priest and he goes into the confessional and he sits there waiting for someone to come in. And supposedly the idea is that he doesn't know who's coming in there and who's confessing their sins. Now, that's nonsense. He knows just as well as when I hear you calling me on the phone. I know who you are, most of you, as soon as I pick up the phone. He knows when he hears the voice who's on the other side, if it's someone who's a part of that congregation. So it's kind of silly. But that idea of trying to be anonymous, we want to confess the sins anonymously. We don't want anybody to know that it was me that committed that sin. And yet, sometimes we go to the opposite extreme that the Catholic Church has taken, where they say that someone has to go in there and confess to the priest. We go to the opposite extreme and say, well, since we can confess to God, we don't ever need to have to tell anybody else about any of our sins. And I think that extreme is just as dangerous. The Bible teaches us that confession is necessary. It's not easy, but it's necessary. 1 John 1:9 says that it's necessary if we want to be forgiven of our sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And that, of course, involves us confessing them to Him. But before that can happen, first of all, we must confess our sins to ourselves. And you might say, well, that's ridiculous. Of course I know I've sinned. Well, I know you've sinned. We all do. But admitting that we have sin in our life, and particularly admitting what that sin is in our life, first step in forgiveness. If I won't admit to myself that I have a problem with a particular sin, then I'm sure not going to ever confess it to God or to anyone else either. If I don't believe it's a sin, if I don't believe I've done anything wrong, on your sheets, now this may not be on the sheets. I don't have trouble remembering sometimes which ones are on there and which ones aren't. But anyway, the story is told of one preacher who went to a jail. And I've been to the jail enough to know that a lot of times this is so much the case. And he went down, he had preached to the prisoners there in the jail. And at the end, he was going cell by cell talking to the different prisoners. And in each one, he would ask them, well, what led you here? What brought you here? And the one would say, well, I was framed. And the next one would say, well, I don't really deserve to be here. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not guilty. I'm innocent. I shouldn't be here. And on down the line. So finally, he came to one cell, and he asked the fellow in that cell, what brought you here? And he said, my sin is more than I can bear. I can't bear the sins that I've committed in my life that brought me to this point. And he said, well, praise God, finally there's someone who has hope. Now, you might see that the guy just weeping in his hands and he's got so much sin in his life. But that's the first step. until we admit that we've got the sin, we can't do anything about it. How many people do you know who have gone to the doctor and the doctor's given them the diagnosis, you've got cancer? Some of you have been there. But you know, some people, when they get that diagnosis, you know what they do? They say, I do not. That's not true. He's wrong. I don't have cancer. And you know what happens to those folks? They die of cancer real quick. Because they don't go get any treatment because they don't believe they've got cancer. The same thing would be true of any number of other diseases. The doctor says, you've got AIDS. And then somebody says, no, I don't. And it's not possible. I don't know. And so they don't get any treatment. It's not until we admit to ourselves that there's a problem that we can get any help. Doesn't matter whether it's a health situation with our physical body or a health situation with our spiritual body. We've got to admit that there's a problem there. But it's not easy. If we don't confess our sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, 1 John 1:8 says. And again, before we can confess it to God, we first got to admit it to ourselves. We can't keep putting on the front, I'm all righteous and I'm all good and I never do anything wrong and I am oh so holy, and expect to be forgiven of our sins, because we've got to first admit that I'm not holy. I'm not clean. Isaiah says, even our best is as filthy rags to the Lord. In the book of Job, his friends trying to confront Job, but sometimes they'll say things like, well, what can man do for God? Well, nothing. Man can't do anything for God. God does not live in a temple made with hands, Paul said, or need to be served as though he needed anything from us. But he has what he can offer to us that we can't get anywhere else. And that's the forgiveness of those sins. But we must not deceive ourselves. We've got to admit that we have sins. And of course, if we don't confess our sin, we make God out to be a liar. And His Word is not in us, 1 John 1:10 says there. We all have sin. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, for there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. There's not a one. We all have sinned. Romans 3:23 tells us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the question that you have to ask yourself tonight, and nobody can answer this for you but you, are you in denial about your sin? Because there are many people who will go to their grave and wake up on judgment day and be told, depart from me, I never knew you, because they denied throughout their life that they were in sin. And they die, they have a funeral, and the preacher will say all sorts of wonderful things about them. Their friends and relatives will say all sorts of wonderful things about them and say, boy, I bet they're so at peace now that they're on their way, going to heaven now. But they won't get there. Because the whole time that everybody else was looking and thinking that this was such a righteous individual, this person had sin all inside, and they never would admit it and never would open up to God and ask Him to forgive them of that sin. Are you in denial about your sin? I hope not. But if you are, you need to get out of denial. You need to get to a point where you can acknowledge to yourself your sin. That's the first step. And then, of course, after we've admitted to ourselves, yes, I have this sin or I have that sin, then we need to take the next step, and that is we must confess our sin to God. You see, even if I admit I have sin, I'm helpless to do anything about my sin. What can I do? I can't forgive myself my sin. I can't do enough good things to overcome the bad things. There's no amount of good that I can ever do that will change the sin that I have in my life, that will make it be erased. It doesn't work that way. I've got to confess my sin to God. And until I do that, I'm going to keep dragging it around with me. And it's going to wear me out. It's going to wear me down. After we've admitted it to ourselves, we must confess it to God. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we'll confess it to Him, He will forgive. He'll forgive us. You know, sometimes I think that we're so afraid to tell God about our sins because we're afraid He'll say, I can't believe you did that. I'm not going to forgive you for that. And we laugh at that, but you know, sometimes I think that's how we really feel. We really feel like whatever I've done is so bad that God can't forgive me for it. Do you remember what Paul said? Paul said, I am, notice that word, am the chief of sinners. Notice he didn't say I was, he said I am. And yet after having said that, Paul still acknowledged that God had been merciful to him and forgiven him. Now, if he's the chief of sinners, then that means whatever you've done, you fall somewhere below him. And if God was able to forgive him, then he can forgive whatever you've done. And when we understand that, then we need not be ashamed to come to God. I promise you that you cannot tell God something He doesn't already know. You can't tell Him about a sin that He hasn't already seen 100 times, 1,000,000 times, probably. He knows. What's more, you're only hurting yourself because even if you don't confess your sin to God, He already knows about it anyway. You're not hiding anything from Him. It's so pointless to not be honest with someone who already knows the truth. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So even before we ourselves admit that we have sin, He already knows we have that sin. We can either confess now or we can confess later. And this, of course, applies both to our confession of Jesus Christ and to our confession of our sin. And Romans 14, 10 through 12 says, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, here's the question. Do you want to confess your sins to God now? Or do you want to have to stand in front of everyone who's ever lived and confess them then? In front of the judgment seat. You want to talk about embarrassment? Then everybody's going to know and see and hear. As it is now, a lot of your sins can be reconciled between you and God and won't even involve other people. But we can wait. It is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. We're going to have to confess one way or another. Better sooner than later. How many times in your life has there been something that you worried and worried and worried about? Maybe you were going to see Doc. And you were afraid you were going to get a shot. You were going to have a filling done. Or maybe you were going to have a root canal. And you worried about it and you lost sleep and you made yourself sick over it. And then when you finally went, and it was over with in 30 minutes or an hour, and you got to go home, and in a couple of days, you just about forgot about it. And what was all that anxiety and worry about beforehand? You You see, that's what we do with our sin. We keep worrying about it, and we're anxious, and we're disturbed about the sin. And why not just confess it to God and get it over with? What are you afraid of? He loves you. He wants you to come. We need to acknowledge our sin to the Lord. Psalm 32:5 says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. Not that he could have hidden it if he wanted to. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Do we like our sin so much? Do we like the guilt that we feel so much? Do we like the ulcers that we have from worrying about our sin so much that we want to keep them around? Like they're a family pet. No. Get rid of it. Luke 15:17-21, the prodigal considers what he'll do. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's servants have bread and enough to spare? And here I am perishing with hunger. I will rise and I'll go to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. He arose. Now you realize how concerned he was. Yeah. He's having to go back and ask to be a servant in the house that he would have grown up to be in charge of. He has the courage to do that. And when he finally does, and so he arose and he came to his father, when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven in your sight, no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father said, that's right. Go put your work clothes on and get to work. That's not in your version, is it? If it is, you need to get a different one. Because in my Bible, it reads that the father said, bring the robe, bring the ring, go kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party because my son that was dead is alive again and the one that was lost has been found. And that's the way God feels about us. We're off in sin and He's waiting to run and meet us and hug us around the neck and kiss us and bring us home and have a celebration. But we're sitting in the pig pen, too stubborn to get up and go back because our pride, which is another sin, by the way, won't allow us to humble ourselves to make the confession for the other sins that we've got. What are we thinking? It doesn't make sense. But we do it. We need to confess our sin to God, not because He doesn't know about it, but to humble ourselves in His sight. Acts 7:51, Stephen there, most preachers would get stoned if they said this, but he told his audience, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. You see, God sent His Spirit, the Bible tells us, to guide the apostles into all truth and to convict of sin was one of the things involved in His coming. He will convict the world of sin, Jesus said. Unfortunately, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and so many of those other C's in the New Testament, we resist the work that the Holy Spirit is trying to do on us. We don't listen to the Word. We don't read the Word because we don't want the Word in our heart, because we know if the Word gets in there, it's going to convict us of our sin. So we try to stay as far away from it as we can. The old saying, either the Bible will keep you from sin or sin will keep you from the Bible, is so true. Because that's the Holy Spirit's work, to convict you of sin and to get you to confess it. It worked on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached that word. It worked for so many other occasions when the word was preached. But so many times we stubbornly resist it. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to accept it. And we certainly don't want to obey it. Why not? Because it would mean that we would have to humble ourselves. And too many of us want to be our own God. We want to be God. And if we have to admit that He's God, then that means we're not. And we're too proud to admit that. But then third and finally, we must confess our sin to one another. And this one is probably the hardest. The reason it's probably the hardest has a lot to do with another story that's been told, and you've probably heard it before, but I'll tell it again. Four preachers from one town went out fishing together. While they were fishing, they began to talk about the sin in their life. They talked about the need for confession, and they realized that they couldn't confess to the whole congregation. And the church would probably fire them for that. So they said, well, let's confess our sins to each other. They said, okay. So one confessed that he'd been guilty of having some adulterous thoughts about one of his members of his congregation, one of the members of his congregation. He said, I just can't help it. When I see her, I think thoughts I shouldn't think. The second preacher confessed that he had a problem with taking money out of the collection sometimes. And every once in a while, he'd slip a 10 or a 20 out of there and stick it in his pocket, sometimes even more. The third preacher confessed that he liked to take a drink of whiskey just every once in a while. Well, they all had stated that they had never confessed these things to anyone before, and it felt so good to be able to be honest and open with someone about it. And then they turned to the fourth one and noticed he was being very silent. They finally pressed him to reveal his weakness, and he said, I don't think you want to know my weakness, but since you insist, I'm going to tell you. I can hardly wait to get back home because I just love to gossip. And I think that that's the reason that a lot of us are scared to confess our sins to one another. Because we're afraid that if I confess my sins to my brothers and sisters in Christ, they're going to go home and get on the phone and tell them. And that may be true. I know it's true in some cases. And so because of that, we keep them bottled up inside. Isn't that sad? And because of that, we keep them bottled up inside, so we put on the front that we're living these perfect little Christian lives. But you know, somebody sees through the cracks in our armor. And they realize it. And so you know what name we get after that? Hypocrite. Why, they're going down there pretending they're all holy and all righteous, but I know they just do this and that and the other thing. They're hypocrites. We need to be able to be honest with each other. I understand how hard it is to want to confess something knowing that it might be out in the open to all the folks in the community to see. But you know what? Out in the open for all the community to see is better off than hidden up in my heart, tearing me up inside. So even if somebody else is going to gossip about it, I'm better off to confess my sins. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But you know, for those who have a tendency to want to gossip, you need to confess that. And let some others pray for you too. And if somebody comes to you with some gossip, one of the best ways to stop that gossip in its tracks is to say, you know what? Let's sit down here and pray for them. Let's pray about that situation. You see, taking it to God is not gossiping. He already knows. You're not telling Him anything new. And you know what? If we will think, when we know something about somebody, if we'll think to pray for them and pray about that situation, instead of calling somebody else about that situation, it'll be much better for us and for them as well. And then the next time we see them, we can tell them, I've been praying for you. We need to confess our sinful deeds. Now, we've talked before about the importance of confession to others. Acts 19 and verse 18 says, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. This is the same place where they had a book burning. I don't know, probably if we went home and went through the books on our shelves, we'd probably find some that needed to be burnt. I was told of one preacher who had written a book that was just full of error, and then he had sent it out to several churches and asked for their comments on it. And one preacher, after receiving that book, put it back in the envelope and paper-clipped a note to it that said, Acts chapter 19. That's what I think you should do with this book. And send it back to the fellow. But, you know, we need to confess our sinful deeds. But we've got to be careful with confession. We need to understand confession of sin should always go as far as the knowledge of the sin has gone. If I think an evil thought in my heart, that's between me and God. I need to confess it to God and to myself. Acknowledge it and admit it and confess it to God. If I say an evil thing to one individual, then I need to go and confess that to that one individual. If I stumble into church drunk, as someone was accused of doing tonight, I won't say who. But it's not true. I'm just picking this out. That's not true. Nobody that I know of came in drunk tonight. I'll say that much. But if I stumble into church drunk and the whole congregation sees me, then I need to confess that sin. If I get up there on national television and lie or curse or gossip or whatever else on national television, then I need to get back on national television and confess that and apologize for that. But the confession of the sin should always go as far as the knowledge of the sin has gone. If I've thought adulterous thoughts, as one of these preachers in that story had thought about one of the members, I don't need to broadcast that on the radio station, okay? Because then I'm hurting more people than I'm helping. Because it didn't. Some of those individuals didn't need to know about that. But we don't need to just confess that we have sinned. So many times when the invitation is offered, some will stay standing and say, "I've sinned." Well, so have I. So has everybody else. We've all sinned. Now, if you need special prayer for strength, then ask for prayer for strength. But if you've got a specific sin that you've sinned but you're confessing, confess it. You've been absent from the assembly for 2 months, then you need to confess, I've sinned in being absent from the assembly for 2 months, and I'm confessing that sin. And I'm ready to repent of that sin and do better. Another thing we need to understand is that confession is not just an announcement, but it's an acknowledgement of the sin and an indication of the repentance that has taken place in our hearts. Now, we don't need to get repentance and confession confused. Confession is just admitting to the sin. There are a lot of mass murderers who confess their sins and then go out and kill again because they hadn't repented at all. They've confessed them, but they haven't repented. Those are two different actions. We need to do both. We need to repent, but we must confess as well. But a confession without repentance is useless. It's simply giving a report of our activities. We need to be specific when we're confessing before the congregation. If it's a sin publicly known that we need to confess before the congregation, then we need to let the congregation know that that's the sin we're confessing. Stand up and say, "I've sinned." Well, that makes you human. So has everyone else. Now, we may be struggling with sin in our private lives that is not public knowledge, but we're struggling with it and we need prayer for strength. And we may need to ask the congregation to pray for me for strength in overcoming a personal struggle that I'm having without necessarily confessing what that personal struggle is. But I promise you, some of the best help you can get is not just having somebody pray for you in your personal, but having somebody actually who can hold you accountable, who you've actually confessed that sin to and opened up and told them what that personal struggle is about. Then they can be specific in their prayers as well as being specific in their encouragement to you and standing behind you to help you. We need to confess our sins to one another because, first of all, we need the prayers of our brethren. Second of all, they need to know that we're sorry for our sins. And third, if we know that they know, it gives us more incentive to overcome our sin. It helps hold us accountable for it. If I confess to you that I have difficulty with alcohol, then when I go to the grocery store and I see one of you in the grocery store, that's going to make me think twice before I go over there to that liquor aisle, isn't it? When I'm driving up to the convenience store, I'm going to think, you know what? Chris is working in the convenience store, and if I buy some liquor, he's going to know. He's going to hold me accountable for that. Yeah, that's the purpose of a Christian family, is to help each other overcome the sin. Not to pick at each other and blame each other when we do wrong. Not to judge each other, but to help each other. To encourage each other to do better. So if others know, and we know they know, then it's a good way to help hold us accountable. Proverbs 28:13 tells us that prosperity and mercy come from confession. Psalm 38 and verse 18 tells us that our sin should bring anguish, which will lead to confession. In the New Testament, in the book of Corinthians, Paul refers to that as godly sorrow, which brings about repentance. That anguish over our sin should lead to repentance and confession of our sins. Do you have unconfessed sin in your life? Confession is not only necessary for our forgiveness from God, but also to give us a motivation to overcome the sin. If you have a sin that's been in your life for a long period of time, and you've been struggling with it and haven't been able to overcome it on your own, maybe it's time you confess that sin, so that others can help lend their strength. And brothers and sisters, I pray that if someone confessed something of a private nature, that we wouldn't tell others outside the church and gossip about it. I know there's a temptation that many have with that sin. If that's the case, you need to confess that and ask for prayers on that behalf as well. But if you're here tonight and you have a need to respond to the invitation to get some sin out of your life, to get it off your chest, don't let it eat you up. Get over it. Get out from under the bondage of sin. you're here and you have a need to respond, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.